Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for attending another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajna. Today's date is 1 April 2016, and what we're going to talk about today is probably going to touch home a little bit with some, and for those that don't have kids, it'll just definitely set you up for success in the future for your kids. One of the most important jobs we have has been given, God has given us, is the gift of being able to raise our children. In the Bible, God considers children as an inheritance from Him. Although we make many mistakes, it is imperative that we as parents continuously attempt to do our best for our children. In the next segment of our parenting series, we will be discussing ways that we as parents can help to set our children up for success in an often hard and very cruel world. How can we begin at young ages to set our children up to achieve greatness in the future? What is the definition of success? What components are needed in today's world to be successful? Is it ever too late or too early to begin to mold our children for financial freedom? Again, thank you for joining us tonight as we begin to discuss this topic. I am your host on tonight, Kenny Johnson, and I have my beautiful wife, Kwajna Johnson, who's sitting next to me.
Hello, everyone. Thank you. Like my husband said, thank you for joining us on tonight, and we're going to go ahead and open up the lines, and we're going to keep them open. So when you guys have something to say, just jump on in there. So we're going to start off with Keisha. Keisha, are you there? Oh, I'm sorry, two Keishas. Keisha Kayleen, are you there?
Yeah, girl, I'm here.
Hey. Now my sister Keisha Brown, are you there?
I should have been first. But yes, I'm here.
But you called in second. And Mom, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. Again, we're going to leave you, your lines open. So whenever you want to jump in on the conversation, please feel free to do so. You want to start, babe? Okay. Well, I guess I will start. We are talking about tonight, how can we set our children up for success, for greatness? And I guess we all have a different definition of success, and so I guess that's something that all of us will have to, you know, just answer for ourselves. But we do know that we all want the best for our children, even for, you know, those that already have grown children, you still want the best for your children. You don't want to see them stop moving. You don't want to see them stop progressing. And so we'll even, you know, touch on that tonight. And for those of you who've already raised grown children, please do jump in and give those of us that are trying to get our kids grown some advice, because we do need it. But we're going to start off, you know, everyone knows, all of our listeners, and we do thank you, you know, you all that are streaming as well, or our replay listeners, we thank you for joining us as well. And we are a Christian-based show, so we will be going back, you know, we will be relating to the Bible. But the first thing, in my opinion, and that we must do in order to set our kids up for success and greatness, it starts off at a very young age. First of all, we have to teach them obedience. Because without learning to obey authority, without learning to, you know, obey the law, then it's not very likely that they're going to be able to achieve success. And if we do go to the Word of God, we do see, you know, anywhere it talks about lawlessness, it's not good. Lawlessness it's not good. So anytime we don't, you know, we don't adhere to authority, that is not a good thing. So we want to start off at a young age. When they're very young, you can start off with teaching them obedience. And then we also want to make sure that we teach them respect. We teach them values such as honesty and responsibility. And again, that can start off at a very young age. Even with our kids right now, you know, Mariah, she's just one, and although she goes against the grain most of the time, but we still try to teach her to even clean up her room. You know, we get in there with her, and we teach her to, you know, pick up her toys, rather, and it takes a while, and she gets distracted, but that's okay because this is something that we're trying to instill in her even now. Jared, he's responsible for cleaning up his room, and Jeremiah, of course, he is because he's going on 10 years old. So teaching them those things, giving them chores, that is setting them up for success. Now, I know in this new age, we have some parents that are against chores. I'm not sure why, bless you. I think because they think that they're kids and they're supposed to just play. I'm not really sure how that works. But anyway, we believe in giving your children chores because that teaches them responsibility. Anything
thus far? Absolutely. It definitely teaches responsibility, but it also holds them accountable to a certain standard. And what I mean by that is if mom and dad is showing the children how to clean up, or if mom and dad is making sure that they're keeping a clean home, then the kids themselves will want to do the exact same thing mom does. And I honestly believe that once children are learning how to accept, you know, responsibility for their actions at an early age, when they become older, you know, in adolescence, and then they become adults, it's easier for them to accept responsibility and saying, hey, you know, I messed up on this one, but I make sure I make a better choice next time. And what I used to always say to Jeremiah, I still say it to him every now and then, is I tell him, each morning you get up, you know, you thank God first off. I said, but you always, after you thank God, always remember to try to make today better than yesterday. And if we continue to do that, then, you know, hey, you can't go wrong.
Okay. Do any of our callers have anything to say thus far? I know we're starting off with the basics, but the basics really do set the foundation for success. Does anybody have anything to say so far? All right. Well, we'll just keep going. Again, you guys, just whenever you have anything to say, just chime on in. Something else that we wanted to touch on, even at a young age, some people believe that kids have to be in their teenage, you know, years before you begin to teach them about money. We can start teaching our kids about money at a young age and teach them how to manage money. I know a lot of us, you know, we grew up with piggy banks and, you know, the little piggy bank in the room, but that's a great idea. I'm all for piggy banks. And I read something that was saying also to have a clear jar. And they say have a clear jar so when you put the money in there, the kids can see the money increasing. So I think, you know, that's just a matter of opinion. But either way it goes, you know, we can start teaching our kids at a young age to save money. When we're walking around the house and they see change, they can pick it up, go put it in the piggy banks, you know, and things like that. So that's something that we can start at a very young age. And I think that's something that our culture, sometimes we fail to teach our kids at a young age about managing money, about saving money. We can even start saving accounts for our children when they are younger. You know, we don't have to wait until they're older. We can start a savings account for them to give them, you know, a little cushion or give them a start. And, of course, when they get older, then we can teach them about managing their savings account. You have anything to say about that? Okay, we have two more callers that just came in, so we're going to go ahead and open up the lines for you guys to see if you have anything to say. Kyra, are you there?
I am. How are y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Doing good. Glad to be on here. Yeah, I just got on, so I think what I heard you talking about, Quanjin, was, you know, about saving money. I'm not sure if this has been mentioned yet, but, you know, we've talked about talking to our kids about, you know, the credit scores. My son is 18, you know, so just like making them familiar, because when we were growing up, we didn't hear anything like that. We didn't know how important it was. We just didn't know how important it was to be sure, you know, to take care of that credit score and, you know, doing little things, you know, to make sure that it stays, you know, where it is, so it won't affect you when it's time to make those big purchases and, you know, have that good debt, you know, cars and, you know, your house and things like that. But I just want to bring that up as far as helping them be successful early, because our culture doesn't, parents with the best intentions in our culture will forget, or they don't think we need to know because we're children, or they are not educated, you know, either. So I just want to bring up that as well.
Right, and you did. That's a very good point. No, we had not mentioned that yet, but we do see that a lot, you know, in the Black community, where credit scores are not discussed like they should, and, you know, it's not a priority like it should be. You know, and that is something that and we need to protect our children's credit. I think
that's,
we talked about this one show, you know, before. Don't be putting no bill in your child's name and messing up their credit.
That's right.
You know, that kind of stuff. And so didn't we talk about that one show? I think we did. Maybe that was on, maybe that was Anastasia's show. They talked about that, you know. So we have, because we do, you know, we see that. We hear about bill in your child's name at 5, 6, and then you don't even pay it, you know, and then they.
Yeah.
18 and they already have, you know, messed up credit. So let's make sure, you know, they start off that they have a clean slate and that they start off right. So thank you for that, Kyron. The line is open, so whenever you get ready, just jump on in.
Well,
Quanjin,
I was about to say that in addition to saving and what Kyron was saying, also Kaden is 7. Whenever he gets money, I make him tithe out of his money. I make him pay his tithe, and he takes 20% of his money, and he puts it toward his little piggy bank or whatever he want to do, but he can't spend it because that's his savings. So I think it's important for us to teach them at a young age to do that as well.
I do agree. That's how we were raised. That's what we teach Jeremiah. You know, even with giving them, you know, responsibilities, like on Tuesdays and Fridays, Jeremiah, he watches the kids. You know, he watches the little ones. He's not a kid, but he watches them. He's responsible for watching them. And so he gets paid $5 a day. You know, that's a lot to him. You know, to watch them. And we also teach him, even, you know, if we go down there and the whole living room is a mess and Mariah's all over the place or whatever, you know, then some money's getting deducted, because we have to teach you responsibility. You know, we're giving you, you're doing a service and we're paying you for your service. And since we're paying you for your service, you know, there's a certain thing that we expect, not too much, but you know what I'm saying. So trying to just even teach him that. And then, of course, you know, he's taught you tithe, and, you know, kids sometimes, they immediately, as soon as they get a little money, they want to spend it on everything. Or in Jeremiah's case, he'll just want to give it away. Mama, can I give my $5 to my friend down the street? We teach you to be a giver. Yes, we want you to give. However, no, you can't. Every time you get your $5, you're just not going to just go give it. You know?
That's right.
I just want to give it away. No, not all the time. But, you know, we are going to, you know, we do teach to give. So, yeah, thank you for that, Keisha, because that is important, and that is, you know, something, especially if we, you know, we are, you know, Christians, that is something that we believe in. Okay, we're going to go, again, the lines are open, so you guys, you know, chime on in. We're going to go to Missionary Jade. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. I just, you know, really just, excuse me, tuned in. I did hear Kyra talk about the credit scores and stuff. And even with my own son, you know, I just opened him up a little bank account. He put his money in there, and it's like, oh, you know, can I have my debit card? I'm like, for what? Like, you don't really have no money in there. You don't have no, you know, money going in. And I'm trying to teach him, you know, now the delicate balance of, you know, managing your money. You know, you don't need to hold on to your debit card. You know, for what? You only have a little bit of money in your account. It was just some little starter money. But when you get a job, you know, money will be coming in, and then I will teach you how to, you know, deduct and pay your bills. You know, because once he gets his job, you know, you are going to take over your little cell phone bill. You know what I mean? Give you a little bit of responsibility, nothing too much, but just, you know, just a little bit so you can know this is how, okay, when my money comes in, I have this, I got this priority, and this priority, and then whatever's left, put some to some savings, and then, you know, if you want to go out and have some fun, you can. But you'll see, working at Burger King and Taco Bell, you ain't going to have too much fun.
So, that's right.
I don't even think
I'm just
at Burger King and Taco Bell. You can have a lot of fun sometimes.
Depending on how many hours.
Okay, but I'm saying, you know, right now you still have to finish high school, and your goal is to go to college, and you're not going to be able to, you know, to be, you know, totally like, oh, all right, I'm going to work 40 hours, so when do you get a chance to study? I still just, you know, believe you should be part-time, because there's that delicate balance of priority, and education is a priority. Fun is later.
That's right.
That's right.
That is true. And that's something else, you know, I had on my little list to discuss. Education, knowledge, you know, always, we should never stop encouraging our children to learn.
Right.
Never. You know, I don't care if it's reading, you know, reading a book, you know, reading a book about financial management, or just read, you know, we should always just continue them to encourage them, you know, to just continue obtaining knowledge. I met a lady today in the commissary. She came up to the kids and I, started talking to us. Nice, very nice African-American lady. And she said she has read over 10,000 books.
Wow.
10,000 books. That's a lot of reading. You know,
wow.
60 years old,
yeah.
Looked very good, had a workout clothes on and everything. But she came up to me and she said, do you mind if I give you some advice? And so I'm like, you know, no, ma'am. And so she said, twice a day, ask your kids, what were you born into this world for? What is your purpose? She said, don't ask them expecting an answer. She said, but ask them twice a day, because that, she said, eventually, you know, she was saying that's going to stay in their minds. And what that's going to do is to start having them, to, as they get older, they're going to focus on their purpose. You know, what is your purpose? You know, we know we were made here to do, you know, God's will. We know that. But, I mean, like, what has God put on the inside of you? What area does he use you in? What desire has he placed in you? Why are you here? And then she said, you know, she was just saying that it helps these kids to know that they have a purpose, because that's part of problem. You know, we see people killing each other and, you know, all this game banging and all this stuff going on because they don't realize they're here for a purpose, that you have a purpose in life. And so her name was Miss G. I told her about the show and I told her I was going to share it. So she said, you can mention my name if you want to. But she was a very sweet lady. You know, her name was Miss G. But that is important. We have to, you know, that is part of setting our kids up for success and greatness.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
To make sure that we put that on the inside of them, that you're here for a reason, you're here for a purpose. There's something, you are some things that you were put here to accomplish. selfish and not just spend the rest of your life working hard to help somebody else accomplish their goals and their dreams. There's something that God has placed on the inside of you for you to accomplish, you know, for you and for, and yes, to give to other people, you know, but not just to just labor all of your life to just, you know what I'm saying, build someone else's dreams. And so I'm going to see what my husband has to say. I've been talking a lot.
I want to say I agree with everything everyone's saying on the line. Very good topic on tonight. And setting our kids up for that success when it comes to education, again, very important. And so many times, right, you see so many people that have kids that are athletic. And, you know, I thank God for athleticism. But outside of athleticism, what people fail to realize is it only lasts for so long. You know, that one day that athlete is going to eventually have to hang up the jersey, hang up the cleats, hang up the golf putt, whatever. What are they going to do outside of, you know, their ability to play whatever sport it is God has given them the talent and gift to play? And you have kids that go to school, but here's the thing. There are states around the country, college. There are states that are around the country that find a gifted athlete, put him on the field, and he can run the football like crazy, or you know, she can pitch that fast pitch like crazy, but they can't read. Right?
Wow.
Or they're very talented and gifted when it comes to playing music because they listen to it and they can hear it, but when it comes to actually learning how to read the notes, they can't read it. And some of the greatest musical composers that we have in the world started out by not even knowing how to read a note on a piece of paper when it comes to creating music. And now their music is still being played, you know, 50, 60, 100 years even after their death, you know. And it's just amazing to me that you see teachers and parents that are like, don't worry about his education. Just push him through school. You know, he's good on the field. He's gonna take our high school to state. We ain't been to state in 15, 20 years, and we actually got a chance with him. If that kid is not making the cut when it comes to education, that kid will sit on the bench.
That's right.
That's how it should be with parents. How you set your kids up for success. Because it's all fun and games when your son or your daughter is out there playing a sport and they break an arm or they have an injury that they won't be able to recover and come back from, and yet they're in college and people are pushing them and fudging their grades so that way that they can continue to play the sport because their selfish motive. Parents, we gotta when you know better, you do better.
You know what, Kenny? The sad thing is also that when we push those kids through school, those are the same. A lot of those kids end up bankrupt because they don't know how to do simple things like even balance a checkbook. Like they don't. The simple basic things that they should have learned while their parents were pushing them to do things, not the fundamental things. They bypass all of that, and they can't even manage their money because they weren't even taught how to do it.
That's right.
And we can, you know, like we were saying earlier, we can teach them that at a young age, you know, how to manage their money. But hold on, let me say this real quick, then I'm gonna come to you, caller. My sister-in-law, we went to see them this past weekend. My oldest brother, my brother Moses, him and his wife, they came to Virginia. And so we went to see them on Sunday, and she's a teacher and she works in the inner city schools. And one of the hardest parts of her job that she was sharing, she teaches sixth grade, and she was saying that a lot of kids do not know how to read and write.
Wow.
And she actually had a case where the mom was focused on the boy playing football, and the boy, and he couldn't read. And so she said she had to just really break it down. And, you know, it's like, look, he only has a 1% chance of becoming a football player.
Right.
But he needs to know how to read and write. And so we do have to, you know, make sure our priorities in order as far as education, teaching them to read and write. And, again, you know, managing money, you know, at a young age. Okay, We're going to open up the line. First of all, Mom, did you have anything to say?
I'm just listening.
Okay. 8860, Jonathan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Did you have anything to say? Welcome, welcome.
I just need to be caught up on what's going on, but if I have something to say, I'll let you know.
Okay, your line is open. We're talking about how we can make our kids, how we can set our kids up for success and greatness. You know, teaching them things about money, management, education, you know, those things. How can we set them up, especially in this society, in our world today?
Well, you know, first of all, education comes first. You know, and everything else comes in addition to it. So and I know, you know, like you say, you know, some parents they look at their kids' talent and they neglect the education side to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it hurt them in the long run. For instance, I mean, I know a guy who I've met since I've been in Texas who was a phenomenal football player coming up through high school, through college. He was, you know, he was a star running back at Baylor, got drafted in the league, and couldn't do the transition. You know, and he ended up leaving college early, you know. So now, you know, it's like, what I do next? And he devotes his time to go on to school and talk to the kids and tell them to put their education first. And he left school to get into the league. But then, you know, once you get into the league, like you say, you get so much. I mean, the chances of you making it in any sport is very low. I mean, because you're competing with the best of the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then say you do make it. Well, what happens if 5 games into your career you have a knee injury and ends your career?
Right.
You know, and I mean, you know, so parents got to get out of that and you know, put education first. I know for us, we put education first, and then they get the opportunity to play sports. So whatever they want to do, as long as they got their grades right, they can do whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Education.
Okay, then on the education. There's something else that, you know, I was just sitting here thinking as we were all talking when it comes to education. Parents, and I'm not saying you callers, I'm just saying, you know, in general, parents have to get out of that way of thinking that as a kid gets older, they mature. That's not always the case, because you all know that if a kid is not being encouraged, or if a kid is not being taught how to behave, or a kid is not taught how to be respectful, they're not going to be that. So you see, we run into them every day. Where you run into those adults that still sitting at the table chewing with their mouth open and not cleaning their mouth at the table, or that adult that don't know how to say please, thank you, yes sir, no ma'am, yes sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am. I mean, we run into them all the time. Even at jobs, we go to establishments and, can I take your order? Yeah. Nah. What else? Anything else? I mean, come on, really? You got to have etiquette when you're dealing with folks. I mean, because in the long run, right, if you ain't got etiquette and that person doesn't feel welcome when they come to that establishment, chances are they ain't going to come back. They ain't going to come back. So it could be one person that can get at that company a black eye, and the CEO, the founder of the business, don't even know what's going on down there in the weeds. You know? So parents, teach your kids now. Because I talked to these little kids around here just the other day. My wife asked me why I did it, but you know Kenny. Kenny going to be Kenny. We sitting out on the basketball court. So kids out there playing, you know, and the little boys are out there just talking all weird and crazy. And I'm like, hey, y'all don't need to be talking like that. And then the dude was like, hey, man, give me the ball. And then I said, do y'all hear me talking to you? Yeah. I said, first off, my name is Mr. Johnson, and the proper way to answer me back would be, yes, sir. Do you understand that? Yes, sir. And then after that, I ain't have no more issues. When you enforcing those type standards with your kids,
Right.
Your kids will know how to act, and we, I want, glory be to God, we get all kind of compliments on our kids about how respectful they are, how mannerable they are. When you got kids that's like that, you have adults that are out there that are just willing and just ready to help kids that are respectful.
Right.
You know, so then that right there is a form of networking. Kids see, grown-ups see those kids out there or those teenagers out there that know how to respect people, and then you have people that want to help them.
Wow. That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Anybody have anything?
I actually did want to say something on what Kenny was talking about, just about how we were transitioning from education, and he was talking about etiquette. What I also think is important as far as education is concerned, because these same kids that you're talking about, you know, that work in fast food restaurants, or not even just fast food, just work out in the public entity and are speaking and dealing with the public, I think it's sad when they cannot do simple math. You know, I was in the store the other day, and the girl put in the wrong amount for what I paid her, so she didn't know how much change to give me back. And I was like, man, you need to give me back this amount of change. And she looked at me like I was crazy because I told her exactly how much change she needed. She had to pull out a calculator to figure out how much change she needed to give me.
Yeah.
Once that calculating wasn't handy. Like, I just feel like we rely too much on some things and we just don't educate our kids the way they need to be educated, because there's no reason you should have to pull out a calculator to take 82 cents from a dollar.
You're right. You're right. And unfortunately, that's the world we're living in now. And so we have to make sure that we, you know, teach our kids some of these basic things that we were taught. I mean, before long, I think they're going to completely take cursive out of, you know, out of.
Yes, they don't teach it anymore.
They already
and
did.
They be crazy.
They did.
In some places, they
have. If I'm not mistaken, I know my kids say they're not required to write in cursive anymore.
They don't teach them cursive here. They don't. It's not in the curriculum at all anymore.
To me, that was weird. Because I'm like, you know, how do you fill out a anything without knowing how to write your sickness?
Right.
You can't write your sickness in print, but if you're not teaching them how to write the cursive, I mean, you know, it's I don't know, man. To these days and time, man, it's just getting so crazy. To it's like, what happened? You know, it's like, that's what Kenny was saying. That's part of etiquette. I mean, it's just certain things you have to know how to do in life. Ain't nobody gonna take you serious if you come to their job and you fill out an application and you write your name in print.
Right.
Then, you know, like Keisha was saying, you know, and I done seen it too. I'm getting, you know, somebody tell me $2.14. I give them $3, and they just stunned because they put the wrong number in, and then they don't know how much change to give me back.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I don't know what it's come to. I mean, I think right now with the way technology is, we rely the kids that's coming up. They rely too much on technology.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But I also blame some of the things out of the school. I blame some of the things that are coming out of the school on a lot of parents that don't show up to vote at them school board meetings.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, you parents do have a voice, but they're not utilizing it. You're absolutely correct. And y'all, here's one thing. I don't know if y'all
give me a chance to speak. Okay. Y'all give me a chance to speak.
Who's that?
Yes, ma'am.
Parents
Mama.
Today are not
like parents.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, Mama.
Yesterday.
Go ahead, Mama.
They're not like parents when we were raising our children. One of the things we had going for us to help our children was PTTO. And if the parents would attend PTO and get involved in the children's academics. And that would make the difference. I really think it would help young people. But parents of the day, it's just your kids are blessed. But it's probably like, what, 30% that actually take an interest in their children. The other ones, they letting everything else raise their children.
Right.
Technology is raising their children.
Right.
Anything other than them taking a stand to raise their own kids.
That's right.
So that's one of the things that's missing out of the school today.
Right.
Right.
I absolutely agree
and
with you.
And out of the home.
Yes.
Even
yes.
though we know that there are parents, single parents, that having to raise their kids. But still, I was a single parent, and I still reinforced my kids to have a better life than what I had. Mm-hmm. And even with the banking and all that, the savings and the tithes and all that, when summer came, we made a journey to the library. And a whole summer, they had books that they had to read. And so I instilled that in them. So this is a lot. I still say parents need to take an interest in their children.
That's right.
Yeah, I think, you know, I agree. I agree 100%. Because, you know, it seems like our generation, somewhere within our generation. And I'm saying our generation because right now we are the parents. You know, like.
That's right.
You know, it seems like, you know, our generations seem like they got away from what they were taught. You know, back in the day, we was, you know, it was, you know, we respected our elders, no matter who it was, whether we disagreed with it or agreed with it, we had no choice to respect our elders. And we had neighbors, you know, that, you know, if we did something wrong, they would come, they would say something to us, and then walk us home and tell our mama. You know, and they didn't got away from that, you know, and then, you know, because I had to go up to the school this week, you know, and chastise my son because he was disrespectful to a teacher. But, you know, and I'm like, that's a grown man you talking to. You know, you ain't, I don't care if you like it or not, you are not going to disrespect nobody, you know, and then teachers now, you know, and the way the school system set up, you know, they also are afraid, you know, to go up to the school and chastise their kid because, you know, how the school system set up now, they quit the call and report you or this, that, and the other.
Right.
I went up, you know, me personally, I went up there. I had to go up there twice for both of my sons. And I didn't hide what I had to say. I didn't take them outside. I said what I had to say in the hallway in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then took an old black man. He walked down the hall. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, and you know, and then I got a friend going through that now where they took his kids because he disciplined one of his kids and sent him to school. You know, and we all been parents, and, you know, sometimes we may have, you know, sometimes we go too far. You know, but, you know, I think, you know, like, you know, and then that's, you know, that's, I think that's one thing to where it just, you know, it takes a lot away when, you know, you got people who, they don't understand how we were raised. You know, we were raised, our mom came up to school, but we got whoopings at school. You know, our principal, Mr. Tompkins, walked around with a bullet. You know what I'm saying? And you didn't want it. You got a pattern at school. You got another whooping when you got home.
That's right.
You know, and I just think, you know, with the transition of stuff like that, it takes a lot out of the home. And then a lot, like I say, and then a lot of the people that I grew up with, you know, a lot of them, you know, they got away. I guess I don't know where the absence of what they were taught growing up, because I know a lot of people that I know, you know, they mom and daddy, they are old school, like my mom and daddy was, and, you know, we talk about it at work, And it ain't just in Macon, it ain't just in Atlanta, it ain't just in Virginia, it's worldwide. You know what I'm saying? And it seems like our generation, somewhere, just threw those values out the window.
Yeah.
They have.
Yeah.
They have.
Setting our kids up for failure.
And that early intervention, like you say, in the home front is key. It's important. Mm-hmm. You know, when your kids see you show up to the school and you show up unexpected, because I'm like a ninja when I show up at Jeremiah School, he never knows. And I walked up on him one day, he was playing in class. I knocked on the door, look, I'm telling y'all. And just being funny, it like Jeremiah's soul left his body because he was just that scared. He's like, Lord, my dad is here. But here's one thing, y'all, that I have that will make me come unglued in a minute. We have grown people that are raising young people to become adults that are on Facebook that can't spell.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
can't spell worth a lick. But be on that column that's still trying to tell people off. Teach your kids how to handle things the right way. You know, y'all remember right. back in the day when we used to get into fights? You fight, you knuckle up real quick, you got a bump and a bruise here, the teacher pallet, or the teacher takes it to the office, you get a pallet, and then now y'all best friends. That ain't like that
yeah.
no more. That's not
no.
like that no more. And then here we are, Facebook, right? You see them on Facebook writing, and you're like, Lord. And don't take this the wrong way, y'all. But sometimes I be thinking that, you know, that there's a slave that then showed up on Facebook and just started writing. You know what I'm saying? Because of how they write. You know what I'm saying? And this is when Massa was preventing, you know, blacks from reading. Now we had an opportunity to read, and people are not doing it.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's not setting our kids up for success. You know, like my mom said, every summer we did go to the library, and that's something that I have continued with my kids. They look forward
that's
to
right.
going to the library, you know, and getting
right.
books. So, you know, it's important that we as parents, you know, even what you're saying, Kenny, about how we're on Facebook, you know, people on Facebook talking. If we have an expectation of our children, if we're saying, okay, this is we want you to, you know, be successful in life. We want you to, you know, do this. Then we have to model that. We
That's
have to
right.
model those things. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. we have to be their first, their examples. We have to be their examples. That's just what we need, you know, we need to do. And so, yes, education. And then not only that, you know, we know education is first, and then we need to nourish our children's talents and their gifts. If we see
right.
that they have a talent and a gift, you know, which we know they do, because all of us do, then, you know, we have to, we need to nourish that. Set them up. I'm a firm believer now in set our kids up to be the CEOs instead of working
That's
for
right.
a CEO.
That's right.
You know, to
That's
be
right.
the CEOs.
That's right.
But whatever your That's gift right. is, you know, to encourage them to move out in that. And I can say, you know, that I do thank God for that we, you know, we have parents. When we were younger, even now, you know, they encourage us to do that. They push
mm-hmm.
us to do that. They support
mm-hmm.
us, you know, and sometimes, like, we don't even see. I didn't even see my gift of writing, but my mom would tell me, you know, my husband told me. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes they might not even see what they have, but if we see
right.
it, you know, we need to make sure that they know that it's there. Hey, baby, you're good at this. Do you realize how good you are at this? Or, you know, and encourage them to do it. Hey, you know, you're good in budgeting. Come on here and help me to, you know, do this. You know, whatever it is. And that's helping them, you know, helping to set them up for success. Does anybody have anything?
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just quick. Disclaimer. Like I said, when I said something about slave owner earlier, I wasn't trying to be disrespectful, y'all. Just let y'all know. What I'm saying is, right, our blacks that died and have died, you know, for us to be able to have an opportunity to vote, for us to have be able to have an opportunity to have the same educational benefits and opportunities that any other nationality has, they're not taking advantage of it. You know,
right.
Some of them are not just taking, they're just not taking advantage of it. But we have doctors, CEOs, lawyers. You know, we have people that are black, that are multi-million dollar business owners. And you know, you have other nationalities as well. All right, but it all boils down again to the forefront of the home front. You got to have a united. You got to have a united stance, whether you're a single parent. Or you got to have a united front, whether you're, it's a two-parent home. Encourage their education, encourage their gifts, and their gifts and talents. You know, I'm telling y'all, even like with Jeremiah, love watching TV. Jeremiah forget the world exists when he watching TV sometimes. It's so funny. But we nourish that, and I honestly believe that Jeremiah going to have something to do when it comes to dealing with TV programs or just television alone. Mm-hmm. But we kind of encourage that a little bit. We let him talk, and he's very punctual, so we encourage that. All right, so that's what we have to do as parents.
That's right. If I could say something, you know, with that, we have, you know, Kyrez, he's 18, you know, he'll be going into the Air Force, praise God. And you know, everything with politics going on. And, you know, we told him and, you know, our oldest daughter, we told him, you know, every day you need to turn it on CNN, Fox, in 15 minutes. And look at what's going on in this country that you are living in. See what these politicians are saying. See who's for you. You know, he's definitely old enough to vote, but our oldest daughter, she isn't. So I remember growing up, and I knew who was running for president. I wasn't interested. I didn't think it affected me. I didn't think my vote would count. But growing up, it's like, you know what? And it's a lot of black kids like that. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of, and not just black kids, but I'm speaking from my experience. And so now I'm raising my kids and I'm saying, you know what? You know, turn it on, you know, and we know it's jacked up. We know it's a lot of jacked up stuff going on right now in this presidential, you know, race or whatever. But I want them to see who stands for what. And how do you feel about that? How do you feel about this? What does the word of God say about what they're saying? Because, you know, Democrat, Republican, independent, we're saved first. We're saved first, not black first, not Democrat first, not Republican. We're saved first. And so we're not going to agree with everything all of them have to say, but we do put it out there and say, hey, turn on, you know, okay, you're watching your favorite show, but turn it on. Let's see what these politicians are saying today. Let's see where they stand, because this is your country. You know, God afforded you to be living here, but you need to know who's running. Our daughter, Ayani, she's 7. President Obama has been her president all of her life. She was born 4 weeks before he was elected in November, and we, you know, everybody was all going crazy and stuff. He's been her. All she knows is an African American president. When we were younger, we were like, oh, maybe one day, or Jesse Jackson or something. But it starts her off, you know, whether we agree with everything he does. But she has been given a little nudge, like, oh, she knows it's possible. She knows him. She knows him ever since she was little. And so just pushing them to know about politics as well, money, education. You have to know the judicial system, the legislature. You have to know economy, you know, who's saying what about your county. You know, your mayor. Who is your mayor? Kids know who that is. You know, and while we're voting, those things are important, because I don't want them voting for something just to be doing it. But I just wanted to put that out there, too. Politics, that matters as well, you know, for them to be educated in the area as well.
Yes, it does. It does. And I can say that, you know, even when Jeremiah is in front of the TV, he absorbs it. He can be looking at the Weather Channel. It doesn't matter what it is.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't think there's anything on TV that's boring to him, you know. But he learns from it, and he'll say, Mom, did you know this or did you know that? You know, those things that it excites him, you know, it excites him. And so you're right. Again, it goes back to the education, the knowledge, you know, that's constantly, constantly. And we do need to, you know those things. And I'm going to be honest, I don't even know who Ame is. I ain't lying. I'm not telling y'all no lies. So thank you, Kyra, for saying that. You just held me accountable. I'm going to find who Ame is. Because that is important. You know, we do need to know those things. Does anybody else have anything else?
I want to say something. I want to go back a little bit. I'm sorry. Hey, this is Cedric, Kyra's husband.
What's up, brother?
And, it was good, old kitty. I wanted to talk about parents, and you know, as parents, we have to know that although it may not seem like it, your children are watching you. They're watching your every move. And they're going to react how you as a parent act, and I say that because as black people or in the black community, we have dreams. Black people have a lot of dreams, but a lot of people don't chase after their dreams because they're afraid of failing, or they've tried one time and something didn't work. But what I realized in my life is that there's no such thing as failure. You know, you only fail whenever you quit. So, you know, you just when something doesn't work out right, you only found a way that didn't work. So you got to go around it another way. And when we start teaching our kids that, you know, I think, you know, our kids do better, they'll be better.
Yeah.
You know, saying, hey, my parents didn't quit when they did this. They just, you know, found another way to go about doing it. You know, just like, you got certain kids have to be taught a different way. You know, they didn't like when we was coming up. They thought that all kids had to be taught the same way. And if you couldn't, you know, if you wasn't catching on, then you was, you know, slow or special needs or whatever they want to call you. You know, but that's all I wanted to say.
And that was a lot. And I thank you for saying that, because that is something I had on my list too. But that's something that's very important. So I'm glad you brought that up, because we do have to teach our kids, you know, to reach for their dreams.
Mm-hmm.
What do you desire to do? What do you want? And I think it's a mentality that we are, I guess, overcoming, you know, as a people, because, you know, growing up, you think about, well, when I grow up, I want to be this, and sometimes it's, well, I want to work for this company, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong, you know, with working on someone's job, but sometimes that's as far as we'll think, because we don't see ourselves as having the company.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We have to see ourselves that way, and first of all, as the parents, because, you know, if they see that the parents are thinking that way, and then, you know, then that's, of course, what the children will know.
Exactly.
That's right. What they're, you know, going to know. Well, yes, I can be this. And, you know, sometimes, like this lady, Miss G, she told me today, she said, your kids are going to be millionaires. She said, they're going to take care of you when you get older. Well, you know, I appreciate that. However, I let her know, well, I'm trying to get the millionaire status now.
Yeah.
Tell Jeremiah.
You know, now I appreciated that. You know, but my thing is a position and leaving an inheritance for my children, you know, and I know she said knowledge is inheritance, and I get that. That's true. You know, but I want to be able to, you know, help them to fund their businesses. I don't want to sit around and wait for my children to be millionaires. No, I want them you know, to see mom and daddy making it to millionaires.
Right.
You know.
That's right.
And so, you know, thank you, Sid. That was good. Everybody's bringing out some very good points, great points. Anybody have anything to say? Nobody? Nobody else?
I have something else to say. I'm going back to the school. Okay. What I did, I got to know my children's teachers on a personal basis.
Yes.
I knew every kid that they had.
Right.
That my kids were like, Mama, you know, we can't go nowhere. But because of taking interest in your children.
Yeah.
And one other thing, instead of arguing about prayer being taken out of the schools, prayer should start at home.
Amen.
Prayer should start at home. Pray with your children. Surround prayer around your children. And everything that they do, and ask God to make it prosper.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. And
yeah,
teach him the word. You know, I can do all things through Christ.
All things.
And once, you know, they know who their source is, because, you know, that carries us. When we've been raised in the faith and we have a strong faith, you know, some people, you know, they believe, what, God ain't real, not as, you know, well, if that's what y'all want to think, that's fine. But what I believe is that he
that's
is.
Right.
And, you know,
that's
and
right.
Without my faith, then I don't have much of anything, you know, of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, teaching
them
the word and teaching them to believe, first of all, in God, and then, you know, to believe in what God has placed on the inside of them and to believe in themselves.
Yeah.
You can
that's
do
right.
it. You know,
that's
and that
right.
goes back to, you know, what Mom is saying, to be involved with your kids, be, you know, being involved. Look, you're important enough for me to know your teachers. You're important enough for me to show up at the school, because your success is that important to me.
That's right.
That important to me. You know, and
that's
like
right.
we tell Jeremiah, because he'll say he wants to be a scientist, and we're telling him, what you're doing now is dependent upon you being a scientist. You
that's
can't,
right.
you know, you can't be lazy in your work. You can't, you know, you can't be that way if you want to be a scientist. Even, you know, again, with respect and, you know, those type of things. These are things that is important to you being, getting to where you want to be in life, you know.
That's right. That's right.
And I think that we have to, you know, continue to just instill that in them. Again, teach them, you know, to believe in themselves, to sell
right.
themselves, to say, hey, I can do this. And it's never, they're not too young to become, you know, entrepreneurs. They're not too young to step out and have their own little businesses. You know,
right.
we see it on Facebook all the time. You have 11-year-olds. They have, you know, businesses. But they make it like they got brands and multi-million-dollar, you know, businesses. You know, even if they just start around in the neighborhood doing some things, you know, there's some things I've been talking to Jeremiah about, you know, pulling the trash cans to the curb. That type of stuff is teaching them, even at a young age, you know, how to make money, manage money, you know, make sure we tell them you can't be laziness. Laziness is not getting you anywhere. You can't be lazy, you know. We have to work hard. And, again, it goes back to showing them that we have to, you know, work hard. Edify our kids.
Right.
Yeah, I put their mind all the time for the same thing, you know, because, you know, and my thing is, you know, like you say, you got to teach them responsibility, man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we came up, you know, we had stuff we had to do around the house. Mama made her get up every Saturday. I mean, you know, and, you know, we couldn't do really nothing until we got our stuff done. And, you know,
that's
and then,
right.
you know, that got us to a point, you know, and then, you know, another thing, it was certain things that my mom would and wouldn't buy me. You know, she wouldn't never buy me no joint. You know, my first pair of joint I bought myself from a settlement check, you know, so it was stuff that I wanted. You know, and so I tell my kids all the time, because they, you know, it's stuff that they want. I'm like, man, okay, you know, what are you doing to you know, get the stuff that you want? You got to work hard. Ain't nothing in this life going to be given to you. You know, I got my first job washing cars at, what, 11, 12 years old? You know what I'm saying? And it went from there. So, you know, you, like you say, you ain't gonna get nothing being lazy. you know, and for, as parents, you have to show them. You know, I know people, man, that and it hurts me to see people think like this. They don't want to do better because they don't want their food stamps to be cut off. Or they don't want to stop getting their tanner check or, you know, stuff like that. And I'm like, man, you know, that, you know, if you really were to educate yourself and know what welfare was originally meant for, it wasn't meant for you to live off of. Minimum wage job is not meant for you to live off of. Minimum wage job is exactly what it is, minimum wage. You know, they started it back in the day, you know, for kids to start out that way and then progress as they go along. Like, you know, it's like, you know, we settle for certain things. We get into, oh, I get $700 worth of food stamps. And you know, I'm like, but, you know, you're supposed to work to get off the system. The system is there, you know, for the people that need it. You know what I'm saying? It ain't there for you to just stay on it. You know, it's there for the people that need it. And so what you expect for your kids to do if they see you doing that? They don't see you striving for, you know, you got to show them. Like, my kids never seen me do nothing less, you know, like you know, since they remember, I didn't work two jobs. You know what I'm saying? I didn't work two jobs to provide for my family. You know, I go to work every day. See, right now, I'm going to school every day. I'm going to school 5 days a week and still working 40, sometimes 50, sometimes 60 hours a week. You know, you have to set an example. My wife go to work every day. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you have to set that example, you know, for your kids. All that get set in that mentality of, you know, and like I said, ain't nothing wrong with the system because we had to be on the 4 minutes.
Right.
But at the same time, it was a stepping stone.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was okay. I need this right now, but each year, each you climb that ladder until you get, you know, to where you need to be, and then you never stop. You know what I'm saying? Like you never stop. I don't care if you're a CEO in the company. Then you move to start your own company. Then if you got your own company, then you move to start another company. You know what I'm saying? Like you never supposed to stop. You're never supposed to get, you know, complacent in what you're doing. You always should strive to do better.
That's right. And they do watch us. They do, you know, pay attention. You know, even for, you know, like myself, I'm an at-home mom, but my son, he constantly, he's like, Mom, I know you're tired. You're always doing stuff. You know, because I'm always doing something. I'm always doing something. Even, you know, when it's not around the house, I'm taking him and doing stuff, or I'm trying to, you know, build something, or, you know, when I was in school. So even when they, regardless of what they see us doing as far as moving forward, you know, because even if you are maintaining your house, you're still maintaining, you know, you're doing something still that's to help the family. You're bettering, you know, their life, our lives, whatever. And so, you know, we just have to make sure, like you said, though, we have to keep moving forward. Keep, you know, Kyra, you're in school. You got Keisha. She's a, you know, she's working. And so, you know, Miss Sherry Jade's working, going to school. I know, you know, my sister, she's working, got a nonprofit business. My mom, we always saw her doing stuff, you know, working 2-3 jobs, going to school. You know, so it is. It's very important that we show them that we're not just sitting around settling for where we are. We're trying to do better. We're trying to make things better, and you know, and that is helping to set them up for success. So, you know, it's just and you know, even again, their talents. If they see us utilizing our talents. You know, Kyra, you're a writer. That your children know that you write. You post it. You write.
That's right.
You know, they see you're doing. You're using what you've been given, using what you've been given. You know, and so it's just we do have to be, you know, that example. So everyone
That's
has
right.
given, you know, some great feedback on tonight. We do thank you all for tuning in and everybody on the line. You know, we love y'all, and, you know, all you guys are definitely just special to us and all y'all. We watch all y'all because everybody on the line, y'all definitely moving forward. So y'all encourage all of us. You know, I mean, y'all encourage us because all y'all are, you know, moving forward. And we all are working towards our dreams. And we are all, yeah, you know, working to push our kids to be successful. So, you know, I just want to thank you all just for the relationship that we have with each and every one of you, and thank you for, you know, just being who you are, because it does mean a lot. And so we thank you all. Does anybody have any last comments before we close out? Stay, babe?
No.
All right. Well, thank you all. Another great show. Another great show. If you have any show ideas, please, please, please let us know, because we are open to ideas. So if there's anything that you guys want us to talk about, please let us know. And you all have a great night and a wonderful weekend.
Night.
You too. Thank you. Good night, y'all.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night, John Boy.